61. Nightmare Made Manifest. We can record any secret we wish and leave it here? How do we know that they'll be discovered? Well, I don't care. Record that then. From Drawer 2-3, Smokestone. The enemy army was letting refugees approach the city. At first, this surprised Kaladin. Wasn't the point of a siege to prevent people from getting in? And yet a constant stream of people was allowed to approach Kolinar. The gates stood closed against an army invasion, but the side doors, which were still large, were wide open. Kaladin handed the spyglass to Adolin. They'd landed in an inconspicuous location, then hiked back to the city on foot. But it had been dark by the time they'd arrived. They'd decided to spend the night outside the city, hidden by one of Shallan's illusions. Impressively, her light weaving had lasted all night on very little stormlight. Now that morning had arrived, they were surveying the city, which was maybe a mile away. From the outside, their hideout would seem like merely another knob of stone ground. Shallan couldn't make it transparent from only one side, so they had to see out using a slit that, if someone walked close by, would be visible. The illusion felt like a cave, except for the fact that wind and rain went right through it. The king and Shallan had grumbled all morning, complaining of a damp, cold night. Kaladin and his men had slept like stones. There were advantages to having lived through Bridge 4.
"They let refugees in so they can drain the city's resources," Adolin said, watching through the spyglass. "A solid tactic."
"Rightness, Shallan,"
Elokar said, accepting the spyglass from Adolin.
"You can give each of us illusions, right? We can pretend to be refugees and enter the city easily."
Shallan nodded absently. She sat sketching near a shaft of light pouring through a small hole in the ceiling. Adolin turned his spyglass toward the palace, the top of which surmounted the city in the distance. The day was perfectly sunny, bright, and crisp, with only a hint of moisture in the air from the high storm the day before. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. But somehow the palace was still in shadow.
"What could it be?" Adolin said, lowering his spyglass.
"One of them," Shallan whispered. "The Unmade."
Kaladin looked back at her. She'd sketched the palace, but it was twisted, with odd angles and distorted walls. Elokar studied the palace.
"You were right to recommend caution, Windrunner. My instinct is still to rush in. That's wrong, isn't it? I must be prudent and careful."
They gave Shallan time to finish sketches. She claimed to need them for complex illusions. Eventually, she stood, flipping pages in her sketchpad.
"All right. Most of us won't need disguises, as nobody will recognize me or my attendants. Same goes for Kaladin's men, I assume."
"If someone does recognize me," Scar said, "it won't cause any problems. Nobody here knows what happened to me at the Shattered Plains."
Drahi nodded.
"All right,"
Shallan said, turning to Kaladin and Adolin.
"You two will get new faces and clothing, making you into old men."
"I don't need a disguise," Kaladin said.
You spent time with those Parshmen earlier in the month," Shallan said. "Best to be safe. Besides, you scowl at everyone like an old man anyway. You'll be a great fit."
Kaladin glowered at her.
"Perfect. Keep it up."
Shallan stepped over and breathed out, and stormlight wreathed him. He felt he should be able to take it in, use it, but it resisted him. It was a strange sensation, as if he'd found a glowing coal that gave off no heat. The stormlight vanished, and he held up a hand which now appeared wizened. His uniform coat had been changed to a homespun brown jacket. He touched his face, but didn't feel anything different. Adolin pointed at him.
"Shallan, that is positively wretched. I'm impressed."
"What?"
Kaladin looked at his men. Drahi winced. Shallan wrapped Adolin in light. He resolved into a sturdy, handsome man in his 60s with dark brown skin, white hair, and a lean figure.
His clothing was no longer ornate, but in good repair. He looked like the kind of old rogue you'd find in a pub, with handy tales about the brilliant things he'd done in his youth. The kind of man that made women think they preferred older men, when in reality they just preferred him.
"Oh, now that's unfair,"
Kaladin said. "If I stretch a lie too far, people are more likely to be suspicious," Shallan said lightly, then stepped over to the king. "Your Majesty, you're going to be a woman." "Fine," Elokar said. Kaladin started. He'd have expected an objection. Judging by the way that Shallan seemed to stifle a quip, she'd been expecting one too. "You see," she said instead, "I don't think you can keep from carrying yourself like a king, so I figure that if you look like a high-born, light-eyed woman, it's less likely that you'll be memorable to the guards who—" "I said it was fine, Lightweaver," Elokar said. "We mustn't waste time. My city and nation are in peril." Shallan breathed out again, and the king was transfigured into a tall, stately Alethi woman with features reminiscent of Yasna's. Kaladin nodded appreciatively. Shallan was right. There was something about the way Elokar held himself that bespoke nobility. This was an excellent way to deflect people who might wonder who he was. As they gathered their packs, Syl zipped into the enclosure. She took the shape of a young woman and flitted up to Kaladin, then stepped back in the air, aghast.
"Oh,"
she said.
"Wow."
Kaladin glared at Shallan.
"What did you do to me?"
"Oh, don't be that way," she said. "This will only highlight your excellent personality." Don't let her get to you, Kaladin thought. She wants to get to you. He hefted his pack. It didn't matter what he looked like. It was only an illusion. But what had she done? He led the way out of their enclosure and they fell into a line. The rock illusion melted away behind them. Kaladin's men had brought generic blue uniforms with no insignias. They could have belonged to any minor house guard within the Kolin princedom. Shallan's too had on generic brown uniforms, and with Elokar wearing the dress of a light-eyed woman, they actually looked like a real refugee group. Elokar would be seen as a bright lady who had fled, without even a palanquin or carriage, before the enemy's advance. She'd brought a few guards, some servants, and Shallan as her young ward. And Kaladin was her... what? Storms.
"Syl,"
he growled.
"Could I summon you not as a sword, but as a flat, shiny piece of metal?"
"A mirror?" she asked, flying along beside him. "Hmm."
"Not sure if it's possible?"
"Not sure if it's dignified."
"Dignified? Since when have you cared about dignity?"
"I'm not to be toyed with. I'm a majestic weapon to be used only in majestic ways." She hummed to herself and flitted away. Before he could call her back to complain, Elokar caught up to him.
"Slow down, Captain,"
the king said. Even his voice had changed to sound womanly.
"You'll outpace us."
Reluctantly, Kaladin slowed. Elokar didn't show what he thought of Kaladin's face. The king kept his eyes forward. He never did think much about other people, so that was normal.
"They call it the Windrunner, you know," the king said softly.
It took Kaladin a moment to realize that Elokar was referring to the river that ran past Kolinar. Their path took them across it on a wide stone bridge.
"The Alethi Light Eyes rule because of you. Your order was prominent here in what was then Alethala." "Our quest is vital," Elokar continued. "We can't afford to let this city fall. We cannot afford mistakes." "I assure you, Your Majesty,"
Kaladin said,
"I don't intend to make mistakes."
Elokar glanced at him, and for a moment Kaladin felt he could see the real king. Not because the illusion was failing, but because of the way Elokar's lips tightened, his brow creased, and his gaze became so intense.
"I wasn't speaking of you, Captain," the king said quietly. "I was referring to my own limitations. When I fail this city, I want to make sure you are there to protect it.
Kaladin looked away, ashamed. Had he really just been thinking of how selfish this man was?
Your Majesty, no,
Elokar said firmly.
This is a time to be realistic. A king must do whatever he can for the good of his people, and my judgment has proven deficient. Anything I have accomplished in life has been handed to me by my father or my uncle. You are here, Captain, to succeed when I fail. Remember that. Open the oath gate, see that my wife and child are ushered through it to safety, and return with an army to reinforce the city.
I'll do my best, Your Majesty.
No, Elokar said. You'll do what I command. Be extraordinary, Captain. Nothing else will suffice.
Storms. How was it that Elokar could give a compliment and yet be insulting at the same time? Kaladin felt a weight at hearing words that reminded him of his days in Amaram's army, back when people had first started talking about him, expecting things from him. Those rumors had become a challenge, creating for everyone the notion of a man who was like Kaladin, but at the same time greater than he could ever be. He'd used that fictional man, relied upon him to equip his team and to get soldiers transferred to his squad. Without it, he'd never have met Tara. It was useful to have a reputation, so long as it didn't crush you. The king dropped back farther into the line. They crossed the killing field under the watchful eyes of bowmen atop the wall. It made Kaladin's back itch, though they were Alethi soldiers. He tried to ignore it by focusing on studying the wall as they stepped into its shadow. Those strata, he thought, remind me of the tunnels in Urethiru. Could there be some connection? He glanced over his shoulder as Adolin came up to him. The disguised prince winced as he looked at Kaladin.
Hey,
Adolin said.
Wow. That's really distracting.
Storming woman.
What do you want?
I've been thinking, Adolin said. We'll want a place inside the city to hole up, right? We can't follow either of our original plans. We can't simply stride up to the palace, but we don't want to assault it either. Not until we've done a little scouting.
Kaladin nodded. He hated the prospect of spending too much time in Kolinar. None of the other bridgemen had gotten far enough to swear the second ideal, so Bridge Four would be unable to practice with their powers until he returned. At the same time, the Shadowed Palace was disquieting. They did need to spend a few days gathering intelligence.
Agreed,
Kaladin said.
Do you have any ideas for where we can set up?
I've got just the place, run by people I trust, and close enough to the palace to do some scouting, but far enough away not to get caught in whatever is going on there. Hopefully.
He looked concerned.
What was it like?
Kaladin asked.
The thing beneath the tower that you and Shallan fought.
Shallan has pictures. You should ask her.
I've seen them in the reports Dalinar's scribes gave me,
Kaladin said.
What was it like?
Adolin turned his blue eyes back to their path. The illusion was so real it was hard to believe it was actually him, but he did walk the same way, with that inborn confidence only a light eyes had.
It was wrong,
Adolin finally said.
Haunting. A nightmare made manifest. Kind of like my face?
Kaladin asked. Adolin glanced at him, then grinned.
Fortunately, Shallan covered it up for you with that illusion.
Kaladin found himself smiling. The way Adolin said things like that made it clear he was joking, and not only at your expense. Adolin made you want to laugh with him. They drew close to the entrance. Though dwarfed by the main city gates, the side doors were wide enough to admit a cart. Unfortunately, the entrance was blocked by soldiers and a crowd was accumulating, anger spren boiling on the ground around them. The refugees shook their fists and shouted at being barred entrance. They'd been letting people in earlier. What was happening? Kaladin glanced at Adolin, then gestured with his chin.
Check it out.
We'll go have a look, Adolin said, turning toward the others of their group. Wait here.
Scar and Drahi stopped, but Elokar followed as Kaladin and Adolin continued forward, and so did Shallan. Her servants hesitated briefly, then trailed after her. Storms, the command structure in this expedition was going to be a nightmare. Elokar imperiously marched forward and barked at people to move out of his way. Reluctantly, they did. A woman with his bearing was not someone to cross. Kaladin exchanged a wearied glance with Adolin, then both fell in beside the king.
I demand entry,
Elokar said, reaching the front of the crowd, which had swelled to some 50 or 60 people, with more steadily arriving. The small group of guards looked over Elokar, and their captain spoke.
How many fighting men can you provide for the city defense?
None,
Elokar snapped.
They are my personal guard.
Then, Brightness, you should march them personally onto the south and try another city.
Where?
Elokar demanded, the sentiment echoed by many in the crowd.
There are monsters everywhere, Captain.
Word is that there are fewer to the south, the soldier said, pointing. Regardless, Kolinar is full to bursting. You won't find sanctuary here. Trust me. Move on. The city...
Who is your superior?
Elokar cut in.
I serve High Marshal Azure of the Wall Guard.
High Marshal Azure? I've never heard of such a man. Do these people look like they can walk farther? I command you to let us enter the city.
I'm under orders to only let a set number in each day, the guard said with a sigh.
Kaladin recognized that sense of exasperation. Elokar could bring it out in the most patient of guards.
We've passed the limit. You'll need to wait until tomorrow.
People growled, and more anger spren appeared around them.
It's not that we're callous, the guard captain called. Will you just listen? The city is low on food, and we're running out of room in storm shelters. Every person we add strains our resources further. But the monsters are focused here. If you flee to the south, you can take refuge there, maybe even get to Yakaved.
Unacceptable, Elokar said. You've gotten these inane orders from that Azure fellow. Who commands him?
The High Marshal has no commander.
What?
Elokar demanded.
What of Queen Aesudan?
The guard just shook his head.
Look, are those two men yours?
He pointed at Drahi and Scar, still standing near the back of the crowd.
They look like good soldiers. If you assign them to the wall guard, I'll give you immediate entry, and we'll see that you get a grain ration.
Not that one, though, another guard said, nodding toward Kaladin. He looks sick.
Impossible,
Elokar demanded.
I need my guards with me at all times.
Brightness, the captain said.
Storms, but Kaladin empathized with the poor man. Syl suddenly grew alert, zipping into the sky as a ribbon of light. Kaladin immediately stopped paying attention to Elokar and the guards. He searched the sky until he saw figures flying toward the wall in a V formation. There were at least 20 Voidbringers, each trailing a plume of dark energy. Above, soldiers began to scream. The urgent call of drums followed, and the guard captain cursed in response. He and his men charged in through the open doors, then ran toward the nearest stairs leading up to the wall walk.
In!
Adolin said as other refugees surged forward. He grabbed the king and towed him inside. Kaladin fought against the press, refusing to be pushed into the city. He instead craned his neck to look upward, watching the Voidbringers hit the wall. Kaladin's angle at the base was terrible for making sense of the action directly above. A few men got tossed off the wall farther along. Kaladin took a step toward them, but before he could do anything, they crashed to the ground with strikingly loud impacts. Storms. He was shoved farther toward the city by the crowd and barely restrained himself from drawing in stormlight.
Steady, he told himself. The point is to get in without being seen.
You would ruin that by flying to the defense of the city? But he was supposed to protect.
Kaladin! Adolin called, fighting back through the crowd to where Kaladin stood right outside. Come on!
They're dominating that wall, Adolin. We should go help.
Help how? Adolin said.
He leaned in, speaking softly.
Summon shard blades and swing them wildly in the air like a farmer chasing sky eels? This is merely a raid to test our defenses. It's not a full-on assault.
Kaladin drew in a breath, then let Adolin pull him into the city.
2 dozen of the fused. They could take this city with ease.
Not alone, Adolin said. Everyone knows that shardbearers can't hold ground. It should be the same for Radiance and those fused. You need soldiers to take a city. Let's move.
They went inside and met with the others, then moved away from the walls and gates. Kaladin tried to close his ears to the distant shots of the soldiers. As Adolin had guessed, the raid ended as abruptly as it had begun, the fused soaring away from the wall after only a few minutes of fighting. Kaladin sighed, watching them go, then steeled himself and followed with the rest as Adolin led them down a wide thoroughfare. Kolinar was both more impressive and more depressing from the inside. They passed endless side streets packed with tall 3-story homes built like stone boxes. And storms, the guard at the wall had not been exaggerating. People crowded every street. Kolinar didn't have many alleyways. The stone buildings were built right up against each other in long rows. But people sat in the gutters, clinging to blankets and meager possessions. Too many doors were closed. Often on nice days like this, people in the war camps would leave the thick storm doors and shutters open to the breeze. Not here. They were locked up tightly for fear of being overwhelmed by refugees. Shallan's soldiers pulled tight around her, hands carefully on their pockets. They seemed familiar with the underbelly of city life. Fortunately, she'd accepted Kaladin's pointed suggestion and hadn't brought Gaz. Where are the patrols? Kaladin thought as they walked through curving streets, up and down slopes. With all these people clogging the streets, surely they needed as many men as possible keeping the peace. He didn't see anything until they passed out of the section of city nearest the gates and entered a more wealthy area. This part was dominated by larger homes with grounds marked by iron fences anchored into the stone with hardened creme. Behind those were guards, but the streets were devoid of anything similar. Kaladin felt the gaze of the refugees. The wondering, was it worth robbing him? Did it matter? Did they have food? Fortunately, the spears Skar and Drahi carried, along with the cudgels held by Shallan's 2 men, seemed enough to deter any would-be robbers. Kaladin quickened his pace to catch up to Adolin at the front of their little group.
Is this safe house of yours close? I don't like the feeling on these streets.
It's away yet, Adolin said. But I agree. Storms, I should have brought a side sword. Who knew I'd be worried about summoning my blade?
Why can't shardbearers hold a city? Kaladin asked.
Basic military theory, Adolin said. Shardbearers do a great job killing people, but what are they going to do against the population of an entire city? Murder everyone who disobeys? They'd get overwhelmed, shards or not. Those flying void bringers will need to bring in the entire army to take the city. But first they'll test the walls, maybe weaken the defenses.
Kaladin nodded. He liked to think he knew a great deal about warfare, but the truth was he didn't have the training of a man like Adolin. He'd participated in wars, but he'd never run any. The farther they got from the walls, the better things seemed to be in the city. Fewer refugees, more sense of order. They passed a market that was actually open, and inside he finally spotted a policing force. A tight group of men wearing unfamiliar colors. This area would have looked nice under other circumstances. Ridges of shale bark along the street, manicured with a variety of colors, some like plates, others like knobby branches reaching upward. Cultivated trees, which rarely pulled in their leaves, sprouted in front of many of the buildings, gripping the ground with thick roots that melded into the stone. Refugees huddled in family groups. Here, the buildings were built in large square layouts, with windows facing inward and courtyards at the centers. People crowded into these, turning them into improvised shelters. Fortunately, Kaladin saw no obvious starvation, so the city's food stores hadn't given out yet.
"Did you see that?" Shallan asked softly, joining him.
"What?"
Kaladin asked, looking over his shoulder.
"Performers in that market over there, dressed in very odd clothing."
Shallan frowned, pointing down an intersecting street as they passed.
"There's another one."
It was a man dressed all in white with strips of cloth that streamed and fluttered as he moved. Head down, he stood on a street corner, leaping back and forth from one position to another. When he looked up and met Kaladin's eyes, he was the first stranger that day who didn't immediately look away. Kaladin watched until a chow pulling a wagon of storm refuse blocked his view. Then, ahead of them, people started clearing the street.
"To the side," Elikar said. "I'm curious about what this could be."
They joined the crowds pressed up against the buildings, Kaladin shoving his hands in his pack to protect the large number of spheres he had tucked away in a black purse there. Soon, a strange procession came marching down the center of the street. These men and women were also dressed like performers, their clothes augmented with brightly colored strips of red, blue, or green fabric. They walked past, calling out nonsense phrases, words Kaladin knew but which didn't belong together.
"What in damnation is happening in this city?" Adolin muttered.
"This isn't normal,"
Kaladin whispered.
"We have buskers and street performers, but nothing like this. Storms, what are they?"
"Spren," Shallan whispered. "They're imitating Spren. Look, those are like flame Spren, and the ones of white and blue with the flowing ribbons, wind Spren. Emotion Spren, too. There's pain, that's fear, anticipation."
"So it's a parade,"
Kaladin said, frowning.
"But nobody is having any fun."
The heads of spectators bowed and people murmured or prayed. Nearby, an Alethi refugee, wrapped in rags and holding a sniveling baby in her arms, leaned against a building. A burst of exhaustion Spren appeared above her like jets of dust rising in the air. Only these were bright red instead of the normal brown and seemed distorted.
"This is wrong, wrong, wrong,"
Syl said from Kaladin's shoulder.
Oh, that Spren is from him, Kaladin."
Shallan watched the rising, not exhaustion Spren with widening eyes. She took Adolin by the arm.
"Keep us moving," she hissed.
He started pushing through the crowd toward a corner where they could cut away from the strange procession. Kaladin grabbed the king by the arm while Drahi, Scar, and Shallan's two guards instinctively formed up around them. The king let Kaladin pull him away, and a good thing, too. Elikar had been fishing in his pocket, perhaps for a sphere to give the exhausted woman. Storms in the middle of the crowd.
"Not far now,"
Adolin said once they had breathing room on the side street.
"Follow me."
He led them to a small archway where the buildings had been built around a shared courtyard garden. Of course, refugees had taken shelter there, many of them huddled in blanket tents that were still wet from the storm the day before. Life spren bobbed among the plants. Adolin carefully wound his way through all the people to get to the door he wanted and then knocked. It was the back door facing the courtyard instead of the street. Was this a rich person's wine house, perhaps? It seemed more like a home, though. Adolin knocked again, looking worried. Kaladin stepped up beside him, then froze. On the door was a shiny steel plate with engraved numbers. In it, he could see his reflection.
"Almighty above,"
Kaladin said, poking at the scars and bulges on his face, some with open sores. Fake teeth jutted from his mouth, and one eye was higher in his head than the other. His hair grew out in patches, and his nose was tiny.
What did you do to me, woman?
I've recently learned, Shallan said, that a good disguise can be memorable, so long as it makes you memorable for the wrong reason. You, Captain, have a way of sticking in people's heads, and I worried you would do so no matter what face you wore. So I enveloped it with something even more memorable.
I look like some kind of hideous spren.
Hey, Syl said.
The door finally opened, revealing a short, matronly Thalen woman in an apron and vest. Behind her stood a burly man with a white beard cut after the horn-eater style.
What? She said. Who are you?
Oh, Adolin said. Shallan, I'll need...
Shallan rubbed his face with a towel from her pack as if to remove makeup, covering the transformation as his face became his own again. Adolin grinned at the woman, and her jaw dropped.
Prince Adolin, she said. Hurry, hurry, get in here. It's not safe outside.
She ushered them in and quickly shut the door. Kaladin blinked at the sphere-lit chamber, its walls lined with bolts of cloth and dummies with half-finished coats on them.
What is this place?
Kaladin asked.
Well, I figured we'd want someplace safe, Adolin said. We'd need to stay with someone I'd trust with my life or more.
He looked at Kaladin, then gestured toward the woman.
So I brought us to my tailor.